Exalt, let them exalt the host of heaven. Exalt, let ministers of God exalt. Let the trumpet of salvation sound aloud our mighty King's triumph. Be glad, let earth be glad as glory floods her, ablaze with light from eternal King. Let all corners of the earth be glad, knowing an end to gloom and darkness. Rejoice, let Mother Church also rejoice, arrayed with lightning of his glory. Let his holy building shake with joy, filled with the mighty voices of the peoples. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, with ardent love of mind and heart, and with devoted service of our voice, to acclaim our God invisible, the Almighty Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord, his Son, his only begotten, who for our sake paid Adam's debt to the eternal Father, and pouring out his own dear blood, wipe clean the record of our ancient sinfulness. These then are the feast of Passover, in which is slain the Lamb, the one true Lamb, whose blood anoints the doorpost of believers. This is the night when once you led our forebears, Israel's children, from slavery in Egypt, and made them pass dry shod through the Red Sea. This is the night that with a pillar of fire passed the darkness of sin. This is the night that even now throughout the world set Christian believers apart from worldly vices and from the gloom of sin, leading them to grace and joining them to his holy ones. This is the night when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. O wonder of your humble care for us, O love, O charity beyond all telling, to ransom a slave, you gave away your Son. O truly necessary sin of Adam, destroyed completely by the death of Christ. O happy fault that earned so great, so glorious a Redeemer. The sanctifying power of this night dispels wickedness, washes faults away, restores innocence to the fallen, and joy to the mourners. Oh, truly blessed night, when things of heaven are wed to those of earth, and divine to the human. O this your night of grace, O Holy Father, accept this candle a solemn offering, the work of bees and your servant's hands, an evening sacrifice of praise, this gift from your most holy church. Therefore, O Lord, we pray you that this candle, hallowed to the honor of your name, may persevere undimmed to overcome the darkness of this night. Receive it as a pleasing fragrance, and let it mingle with the lights of heaven. May this flame be found still burning by the morning star, the one morning star who never sets. Christ your Son, who's coming back from death domain, has shed his peaceful light on humanity and lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
You may extinguish your candles. Please hold them for a few seconds so the wax can dry. And we are going to enter into the liturgy of the word. I invite you to please be seated. Once again, this is an extended liturgy of the word. We have the opportunity to do 7 different Old Testament readings. We've chosen to do 4 of those. 4 Old Testament readings, the Gloria, an epistle, which is from the New Testament, and then the gospel. Remember that there is a rhythm to the readings. A reading is proclaimed, a responsorial psalm is sung, and then we stand for a prayer after that, and then settle back in for the next reading. So this rhythmic action of the Word of God. These passages are about salvation history. Not just history, but our history.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss, while a mighty wind swept over the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw how good the light was. God then separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Thus evening came and morning followed, the first day. And then God said, "Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate one body of water from the other." And so it happened. God made the dome, and it separated the water above the dome from the water below it. And God called the dome the sky. Evening came, and morning followed, the second day. And then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into a single basin so that the dry land may appear." And so it happened. The water under the sky was gathered into its basin, and the dry land appeared. God called the dry land earth, and the basin of water he called the sea. God saw how good it was. And then God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree on earth that bears fruit with its seed in it. And so it happened. The earth brought forth every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree on earth that bears fruit with its seed in it. And God saw how good it was. And evening came, and morning followed, the third day. And then God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night, and let them mark the fixed times of the days and the years, and serve as luminaries in the dome of the sky to shed light upon the earth. And so it happened. God made two great lights, the greater one to govern the day, and the lesser one to govern the night. And he made the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to shed light upon the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw how good it was. Evening came, and morning followed, the fourth day. And then God said, let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures, and on earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky. And so it happened. God created the great sea monsters and all kinds of swimming creatures with which the water teems, and all kinds of winged birds. And God saw how good it was. And God blessed them, saying, be fertile and multiply, and fill the water of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Evening came and morning followed, the fifth day. And then God said, let the earth bring forth all kinds of living creatures, cattle, creeping things, and wild animals of all kinds. And so it happened. God made all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of cattle, and all kinds of creeping things of the earth. And God saw how good it was. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and all over the wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the ground. God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, saying, be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and all the living things that move on the earth. God also said, see, I give you every seed-bearing plant all over the earth and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit on it to be your food. And to all the animals of the land and all the birds of the air and all the living creatures that crawl on the ground, I give all the green plants for food. And so it happened. God looked at everything he had made, and he found it very good. Evening came, and morning followed, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed. And since on the seventh day God was finished with the work he had been doing, He rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. The word of the Lord.
Let us stand and let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created human nature and still more wonderfully redeemed it, grant us, we pray, to set our minds against the enticements of sin that we would attain eternal joys. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, and you lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the Israelites may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." The angel of God, who had been leading Israel's camp, now moved and went around behind them. The column of cloud also, leaving the front, took up its place behind them so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and that of Israel. But the cloud now became dark, and thus the night passed without the rival camps coming any closer together all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind throughout the night, and so turned it into dry land. When the water was thus divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. The Egyptians followed in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers went after them right into the midst of the sea. In the night watch, just before dawn, the Lord cast through the column of the fiery cloud upon the Egyptian force a glance that threw it into a panic. And he so clogged their chariot wheels that they could hardly drive. With that, the Egyptians sounded the retreat before Israel, because the Lord was fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may flow back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea flowed back to its normal depth. The Egyptians were fleeing head on toward the sea when the Lord hurled them into its midst. As the water flowed back, it covered the chariots and the charioteers of Pharaoh's whole army, which had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one of them escaped. But the Israelites had marched on dry land through the midst of the sea, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. When Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore and beheld the great power that the Lord had shown against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot he has cast into the sea." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, whose ancient wonders remain undimmed in the splendor of our day, for what you bestowed on a single people, freeing them from Pharaoh's persecution by the power of your right hand, now you bring about as the salvation of all the nations through the waters of rebirth. Grant, we pray, that the whole world may become children of Abraham and inherit the dignity of Israel's birthright. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread? Your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. As I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of nations, so shall you summon a nation you knew not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God, who is generous in forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. For just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down, and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to him who sows and bread to him who eats. So shall my words be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, sole hope of the world, who by the preaching of the prophets unveiled the mysteries of this present age, graciously increase the longing of your people, for only at the promptings of your grace do we progress in virtue. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their land, they defiled it by their conduct and deeds. In my sight, their conduct was like the defilement of a menstruous woman. Therefore, I poured out my fury upon them because of the blood which they poured out on the ground, and because they defiled it with idols. I scattered them among the nations, dispersing them over foreign lands. According to their conduct and deeds, I judged them. But when they came among the nations, wherever they came, they served to profane my holy name, because it was said of them, "These are the people of the Lord," yet they had to leave their land. So I have relented because of my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, not for your sakes do I act, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you profaned among the nations to which you came. I will prove the holiness of my great name, profaned among the nations, in whose midst you have profaned it. Thus the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when in their sight I prove my holiness through you. For I will take you away from among the nations, gather you from all the foreign lands, and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. You shall live in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As the deer longs for us.
Let us pray. O God of unchanging power and eternal light, look with favor on the wondrous mystery of your whole church and serenely accomplish the work of human salvation, which you planned from all eternity. May the whole world know and see that what was cast down is raised up. What had become old is made new, and all things are restored to integrity through Christ, just as by him they came into being. For he lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Please remain standing. Let us pray. O God, who make this most sacred night radiant with the glory of the Lord's resurrection, stir in your church a spirit of adoption, so that renewed in body and mind, we would render you undivided service. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might have newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be slaves to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ raised from the dead dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early, when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone for us, for the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he had told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is so powerful to think about the fact that as we gather here this evening, that Christians throughout the world are doing something very similar, right? Christians throughout the world are gathering on this night to celebrate the power of the Easter mystery. Roman Catholics throughout the world are gathering for the proclamation of the stories of salvation, the celebration of fire and light, the celebration of who we are as the baptized and disciples, the celebration of baptism and confirmation for those who will be coming into the church, and for being nurtured and strengthened by the Lord in the power of his Eucharist as we gather together as God's people and community, happening throughout the world. These moments, not to get too crazy on you, are called moments that are Kairos moments. That's a Greek word about time. Usually we measure time in chronology or chronological time, right? Minutes and seconds. And so, but Kairos time is this sense of God's time, which means that eternity is happening right now, right? This connection, this solidarity, this presence of God. Of course, that doesn't necessarily make the pews feel any more comfortable on your behinds. You used to be sitting there for an hour, right? So please feel free to get up, stand up, move around, go get a drink, use the restroom as you need as the celebration of the liturgy goes on, right? Please make yourselves and continue to make yourselves comfortable. But these are the times when we gather in such incredible union of God's love as God's people. You know, as a leader, as a Christian leader, as a priest, and leader in the church, I can't tell you how often people ask me questions like, Father, what's death like? What's heaven like? What's resurrection like, right? And it's really one of those strange questions, almost like, you know, kids ask the darndest questions, right? You know, it's like, how do you answer that? Who made God? You know, how am I going to answer that one, for goodness sakes? And so it's like, those are like these deep, fundamental, human questions that we have. And honestly, I have to be quite honest, I don't necessarily have the answers for those questions, right? I'm sorry, I haven't been there yet, you know? I've not experienced that quite fully yet, right? And certainly, I can talk about what I hope and what I believe in and the truth that we proclaim that comes from the Gospels, right, and from the Word of God and from the salvation history. I can talk about the rich teaching history of the church throughout centuries now, and certainly bring forth some sense of truth and understanding of heaven and resurrection and what that means in our lives. Certainly, too, we all know that there are books and movies that are written about people who have gone and come back, right? And those can strengthen our belief and give us some insight into our understanding of that. But when it comes right down to it, there's a mystery to it. Even, I want to say, a bit of uncertainty to it. And there's something about that that is also incredibly powerful. Do you know, there is very seldom that all four Gospels are consistent, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It only happens at rare times. Certainly, each of them show forth profound truths, different views, portraits of who Christ is, what he is in our lives, and what he continues to be. But seldom are they consistent. Only consistencies show up occasionally, like, for instance, the multiplications of the loaves and fish. That is in all four of the Gospels in different places, right? But what is consistent also in all four Gospels is the first experience of the resurrection. And the first experience of the resurrection is actually a little bit strange and actually a little bit uncertain. Because in all four of the Gospels, the beginning of the experience of what the resurrection might mean for the Christ and for us, his followers and disciples, is actually the empty tomb. That's a strange way to try to communicate the power of the resurrection. It's an emptiness. It's, in Mark's gospel that we heard proclaimed today, surprising, maybe a little confusing, certainly not fully understood. And actually, if you read Mark's gospel a little further, like the next couple of lines after this gospel that we heard proclaimed, which is probably one of the reasons why the church keeps them out, it actually says that they were pretty much afraid, uncertain and afraid, and they didn't tell anyone. That's actually probably the original ending of the first gospel written, Mark's gospel, right? Why in the world would we as a Christian people, if we're talking about the most important and significant teaching of our faith, the power of life over death, the power of Christ's freedom given to us in his self-giving life, death, and the resurrection, or it wouldn't make any sense, why in the world do all four of those gospels consistently say that it began with an emptiness in the tomb? A bit of uncertainty. You know, that also speaks profoundly about our lives, doesn't it? There is so much about our lives that really aren't that certain. You know, we think life is certain, and then something changes, right? We move on to a new job. We get different coworkers, kids move up, grow out of the house, right? Change in our health and well-being, whether that be physical, emotional, mental, right? So much in our lives has this level of mystery and uncertainty to it. It's also very much a part of what it means to be a synodal church, what we've been talking about this entire Lenten season, right? When we, as people, are really doing our best to try to tune into what the Spirit of God is saying to us in our time and place in the midst of all the uncertainties of our world, and when we try to open ourselves to one another and the differences and thoughts of opinion and movements within sociology and politics, as well as basing that in the context of the history of our Word of God and the church and its teachings throughout centuries, right? What we're doing is stepping into a place of uncertainty. Just like happens every time we step into probably every relationship, right? Right? And as every relationship grows and develops. And in the midst of that is the hope, the trust, the possibility of what is to come. But it starts by something that is surprising. It starts in an emptiness. It starts in an uncertainty. When someone asks the question to another, what do you think about that, right? And all of a sudden you've stepped into this space where it's like, wow, now there's something that's open, must be listened, must be welcomed in some way instead of rejected, right? That synodal church listening to one another as we're walking together, trying to understand and to discuss and to come to conclusion and find the Spirit's direction in the problems, the joys, the signs of our times. And it's true of probably many things of our lives. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if there were so many things that were more certain, right? But they're not. And yet in the midst of that, we are called to live in a sense of a hope, a trust, a belief that in the encounter of the empty tomb, the possibility, the hope, the profound experience of new life is open to us as God's people. No, I don't have the answers to some of those incredibly mysterious questions about our lives, but we do have the gifts of the sacraments. We have our baptismal commitment. We have one another as family and friends and church. We enter into these sacred spaces and times of relationship. And in those, there's the possibility of life beyond telling.
Our response is, amen, alleluia. Forgive me, Father. And thanksgiving for this Easter day that brings us the rising of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Alleluia. And thanksgiving for the gift of our salvation, we pray.
Amen.
And thanksgiving for those who have handed on the faith over 2,000 years, the faith that brings us to the celebration today, we pray.
Amen.
And thanksgiving for our families who have shared with us the joy of knowing Jesus, we pray. And thanksgiving for Jesus' death and resurrection that gives us a reason to believe that God can create good from evil, we pray.
Amen.
For our family members and parishioners who have entered eternal life this week, may they be welcomed into the embrace of God's love, we pray. We remember all the intentions present on the altar, along with those we hold in the silence of our hearts. We pray.
Amen.
And calling on the loving intercession of our patron and mother, we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Please be seated. Pray, sisters and brothers, my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice from your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church.
Accept, Lord, the prayers of your people with sacrificial offerings, that what has begun in the Paschal mysteries may, by the working of your power and your Spirit, bring us to all eternity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
It is truly right and just, our duty, our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, but this time above all to praise you more gloriously when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Through him, the children of light rise to eternal life. The halls of the heavenly kingdom are thrown open to the faithful. His death is our ransom from death, his rising our rising to new life. Therefore, overcome with Paschal joy, every land, every people exult in your praise. Joining the heavenly powers and the angelic host, we sing together the unending hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, to be glorified, for you love the human race. You walk with us this journey of life. Blessed indeed is your Son, present in our midst, as we're gathered by his love, and as he did for his disciples, and so now for us, opens the scriptures and breaks the bread. Therefore, Father most merciful, send your Holy Spirit to sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day he was to suffer, the night of the Last Supper, he took bread, said the blessings, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, again giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, Holy Father, we celebrate the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Savior, whom you led through his passion and death on the cross to the glory of the resurrection, and whom you've seated at your right hand. We proclaim the work of your love until he comes again. We offer you the bread of life, the chalice of blessing. Look with favor on this oblation of your church, in which we show forth the paschal sacrifice of Christ that has been handed on to us. By the power of the Spirit of your love, may we be counted now and until the day of eternity among the members of your Son in whose body and blood we have communion. Lord, continue to renew your church here in Mary Queen of Peace Parish, our Diocese of Pittsburgh, our country, and our world. Renew it by the light of the gospel. Strengthen the bonds of unity between the faithful and the pastors of the people, together with Francis, our Pope, David, our Bishop, that in a world torn by strife, your people may shine forth of a prophetic sign of unity and peace. Remember all of our sisters and brothers who have fallen asleep in the peace of Christ, all those who join us from the heavenly banquet. All the dead whose faith you alone have known, admit them to rejoice in the light of your face, and in the resurrection, give them the fullness of life. Grant also to us, when our earthly pilgrimage is done, that we would come to the eternal dwelling place to live with you forever, in communion with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Saint Joseph, her blessed spouse, the apostles, the martyrs, and with all the saints, we shall praise and exalt you through Jesus Christ, through whom you give us everything that is good. Through him, with him, in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from all evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Certainly one of the gifts of the power of the resurrection among us, even in the midst of uncertainties, is the gift and the power of Christ's peace. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
So, Liturgy and Art Committee, those who do the cleaning and the preparing, those who order all of the supplies, those who've done the decorating, parish staff, leaders, ministry leaders, all of those who are involved in the many and various ministries and liturgical ministries, all of us as a parish community, all of you who've come here in such a great number and have been present and hung in there, those of us who joined via live stream and are deeply connected to us in our prayer this night as a community, to the director of religious education who moved on, who started you on your journey, and the RCIA team who prepared the candidates and catechumens for baptism and confirmation, to your families and those who've supported you along this way. We give thanks to so many people for so many things as we've gathered on this most sacred and holy night. Can we give a round of applause to everyone who supported us? Just a reminder that as we conclude, the newly baptized and confirmed will remain here in the sanctuary area, as well as the clergy, and you are most welcome to greet them and welcome them. Together, let us please stand and let us pray. Pour out your kindness, Lord, the spirit of your love, and make those you've nourished with this Paschal sacrament one in mind and heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Bow down for the blessing.
Please respond with 3-4 amens. Almighty God bless you through this Easter solemnity. In his compassion, defend you from all sin, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
May he who restores you to eternal life in the resurrection of his only begotten Son endow you with the prize of immortality, we pray.
Amen.
Now that the days of the Lord's passion have drawn to a close, may we who celebrate the gladness of the Paschal feast come with Christ's help in the Spirit of God to the feasts that are celebrated in eternal joy, we pray.
Amen.
And may the blessings of Almighty God be upon all of us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go in peace. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
As we go forth, we sing Jesus Christ is Risen Today. It's the last song in your program. Jesus Christ is Risen Today. We will sing all four verses.